Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. Today, we are joined by one of our good friends. He's been on the program several times, and it's always a pleasure to welcome him back. John Ondrasik is in Michigan right now, for the moment, on tour, currently promoting a brand new song and some new music and perhaps a new album. We're going to talk to John and find out what's going on here on Border Crossings. We welcome you to the show, John Ondrasik. Nice to have you.
Larry, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And you just got back from Ukraine, where you met with the President Zelensky, and you met with many, many, many people in the Ukraine amidst this fighting. In fact, you filmed the video for a new song right in the epicenter of all of this conflict that's going on there. Why don't you tell us about this story and get right to it? Because, I mean, it's quite a story.
It was surreal. It actually started with my work for Afghanistan. You remember months ago, we chatted about the Afghan withdrawal and my song Blood on My Hands. And when that occurred, as you know, I was getting emails from people stranded. And I started working with some of these incredible organizations rescuing abandoned allies and citizens. One was Save Our Allies. They evacuated 12,000 people in 10 days, just incredible people. And when the war in Ukraine broke out, I'd written this song, Can One Man Save the World, partly as a tribute to Zelensky and the Ukrainian people for their fortitude, but also as a plea to the rest of the world to support them. We've seen this before, you know, and appeasement certainly does not work. So I'd written this song, and I was going on tour with my string quartet. And of course, Larry, I have to arrange strings for my quartet to play. And I had a thought of, why don't I go to Poland and play the song with the Polish orchestra? Because Poland has been so heroic in this war, taking millions of refugees. In the first couple of weeks, their president was in Kyiv with President Zelensky. And so I reached out to my Save Our Allies friends who have relationships in Poland and have been active in Ukraine before the war started. And I suggested this idea, and they said, let me call you back. And a few days later, they called me back and said, how would you like to go to Ukraine and play the song with the Ukrainian orchestra? And I was stunned. My first question was, do they even exist? And they said, well, you know, they're scattered across the country, but we could get them to Kyiv for a small window. It's not for sure yet. So long story short, I was on tour, and before my last show, I opened my inbox, and there was a plane ticket to Krakow, and I had a long talk with my wife that night, Larry, as you can imagine. But off I went to Ukraine. 48 hours later, I was in Kyiv preparing to film this video of this song with an incredible Ukrainian orchestra, as you said, in on hallowed ground in front of their symbol of Ukrainian independence. The biggest cargo plane in the world is called the Maria. It's on their army patch. It's their symbol. And the plane was destroyed by Putin at the outset of the war. And they allowed us to film in front of the plane, the destroyed plane in the rubble with Russian tanks blown up around me, jet fuel. And I think it really symbolized the Ukrainian fortitude, strength, passion, plane in that location, that they would not be deterred. So I could talk for hours. It was humbling. It was inspiring. I wish every American could have felt what I felt when I was in Ukraine.
Well, the song is absolutely lovely. Can One Man Save the World? I mean, I just watched the video. And of course, you know, you mentioned the airplane, and you actually have video at the airplane and all of the wreckage behind it. And you have the hangar that it's in, showing how tattered and torn that the hangar is. It's very touching, moving video, and it, you know, it really does hit home. You know, it resonates. I want, you know, the song is, like I say, absolutely lovely. I mean, the words and the message and the meaning, and to have the orchestra behind you is also very touching. Did you at any time feel in danger? I mean, you're there in a battle zone. You know, you're in right there in the middle of a major world conflict.
Well, you know, of course, you know, when we came through Krakow, we were in Lviv, Western Ukraine, for a few hours, and Lviv really didn't seem like you were in a war. You know, kids were playing, but once you got to Kyiv, you felt the weight, and a lot of the stores were closed, and everywhere you went in our hotel was, here's the directions to the bomb shelter, and there were some air raids when we were there, and we see, you know, daily that Russia does not discriminate between military and civilian targets. You see malls being blown up. And a couple of days after we left, there were some missile attacks in Kyiv. So all that to say, I was surrounded by Green Beret special forces with Save Our Allies, but, you know, they don't stop missiles and nobody really slept very much. And, you know, when we did get back to Poland, we all kind of breathed a little easier and probably slept for the first time in 5 days. But of course, what it really impressed on me was whenever I started to feel that kind of fear or weight that we get to leave, we're leaving in a couple of days. These people have been under it now for almost 6 months to live under this kind of not only physical danger, but mental weight of never knowing when, you know, you're going to have to be running for a bomb shelter or something's going to explode around you. So that really impressed on me the reality of what Ukrainian people are dealing with. And that's in Kyiv. Imagine being on the Eastern Front in those cities. But yes, we were certainly anxious like anybody would be.
And it's just amazing, beyond amazing that, you know, I mean, most people in Hollywood, you can create a battle scene on a set, but you actually went to the actual place where this conflict, this war is taking place. And I was just reading where, you know, I'd read where a couple of weeks ago, they, as you mentioned, they don't disseminate between any targets. They bombed a hospital. Yeah. I read where they took over a nuclear power plant. And so that's a, you know, as the headline said, this is a dire moment, you know, because having control of a nuclear power plant, that's, you're in a different part of the war at that point. You know, and they're trying to send, Ukraine is still trying to feed the hungry by sending grain to Ethiopia. I read where they're sending tons of grain. They're still waiting for a ship to arrive so they can give the grain to Ethiopians. So the Ukrainian people keep giving and giving and giving. And this conflict that continues, I don't know. Did you meet President Zelensky?
I did not meet him. I was on the set most of the time, though, when we were filming a take of the orchestra in front of the Maria, we did have a very poignant moment that I think clarified while we were there. As we were playing, I noticed out of the corner of my eye an entourage coming, and it was a bunch of soldiers in military garb. Turned out it was the lead general who had approved us filming on this hallowed ground. And through a translator, we spoke, and he wanted to let me know that President Zelensky personally approved this. He was grateful for this collaboration. And then he said something that I'll never forget. He said, "Let me hear the song." And we started to play. And the orchestra took flight. They were so moved by him being there. And then he took out his phone and he started filming it. And a lot of his entourage, these big Rambo guys, you know, put on their sunglasses because they started tearing up. And I lost it halfway through the song. But at the end, we all felt the weight of the moment in the kind of silence after the song. And I think we Americans understood that these people are fighting for their survival. And we talk about freedom and liberty. And I think sometimes we take that for granted, but every member of that orchestra either had lost somebody in the war, had somebody in the front, or somebody missing. And so you're right. Being there, I think, was really kind of opened my eyes. We hear a lot, we see on TV. But also I saw some of the issues everybody hears, the logistical problems of getting supplies to the front. You know, there's so many tentacles to Ukraine. But, you know, one reason I'm really moving for this project and frankly calling for a global concert for Ukraine, we need a Live Aid for Ukraine. Our artist generation need to step up like they did for Sun City and Live Aid, because the Russian people need to understand that they are the pariahs. They are hearing this propaganda that Ukraine's a bunch of Nazis. And the Russian people need to understand they have a choice to go down the dark side of history with Putin or find a way to topple their tyrant. And as you know, Larry, music has a unique way of permeating borders. So there needs to be a culture front on this war. So this is much more than one song, one video with one group of people. I think it's a call to action for all of us artists to stand with Ukraine. Because certainly if we allow Putin to devour Ukraine, it's not going to stop there.
Right, right. And unlike in the 80s when it was USA for Africa, this is a worldwide effort. So this really could be like a world aid or type movement like that. There should be some gigantic effort. I imagine something will be coming together because this is just senseless, unprovoked. War has cost, you know, thousands and thousands of lives so far, millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars in damage and destruction. And it's just senseless. And for what? For control of land? And it just, I don't know. I'm impressed and moved by the Ukrainian resolve, and especially Zelensky. He's a different kind of leader. This is a guy who's putting himself out everywhere, meeting with all kinds of people. You know, Sean Penn came and met with him, and you know, different people, you know, all different kinds of people. He's touching many, many facets of life for help and support. And people are coming to respond to the call, as you yourself did.
I think you're right. I mean, he's a different cat. I mean, he's a comedian, right? It reminds me a little bit of Reagan, you know. And what was his first act? You know, what was our first act? We offered him a plane ticket. Hey, abandon your people. Remember right. Afghanistan like he did? And what did Zelensky do? He said,
no.
No, send me some stingers, knowing that not just he, but likely his wife and his children would be killed within days. So certainly, I know there's a lot of kind of complication discussed about Zelensky and corruption, and certainly all that is legitimate. We're sending a lot of money there. We need to know our money's going to the right places. There's been no oversight. But that moment when he said, no, I'm staying, I think changed the whole dynamic of this war. I think America and the world was planning how to manage the defeat of Ukraine. But that has not happened. At the same time, we don't know how this is going to end. And right now, Russia is slowly devouring Ukraine. So I think that the stakes in this are historic. And we talked about this when Afghanistan, when we kind of ceded Afghanistan to the Taliban, that we thought there would be dominoes geopolitically. We talked about Ukraine, and here we are. And then we talked about Taiwan, and we're seeing that too. So I think the consequences of Ukraine go way beyond Ukraine. Certainly there's a moral component, but I think generations depend on how the world stands up. That's why I'm calling for artists to stand up and get on the right side of this. If we don't, I think we'll regret it.
We have John Androsik with us, and Can One Man Save the World is the name of the new song. And can you do the song for us? Would you be able to perform that?
Yep, as soon as we're done, I'll hop out on stage with my boys here in Michigan. I'd love to play the song for you, and might be able to include the audio from the Ukrainian orchestra so folks have a sense of what I heard when I was in that bombed out airport.
All right, let's check it out. Here's the new video, the new song from John Androsik. What a beautiful song it is. Listen to the words, get moved by the music. Can One Man Save the World?
Who is this comedian? His audience more mass than men. The Superman Ukrainian, I don't know. Great grandson of the Holocaust, an Eastern heart the West has lost. Nail or carry up his cross, I don't know. In a thousand years, will they say your name?
border crossings, we're back, and wow, what a touching video. What an amazing video. You know, John Ondrasik, you wrote the song yourself, or what inspired the writing?
No, I did. I wrote it very quickly, and it was at the outset of the war, and the reason I put it out piano vocal was this was when Zelensky was being hunted by assassins. And remember, he came out and said, "I'm not sure I'll be here 24 hours from now." So I desperately put it out because I didn't know how long he would survive. But yeah, wrote it very quickly, just kind of like the Afghanistan song. You know, how can you not be inspired by that kind of heroism? Not just him, but the Ukrainian people.
And the Ukrainian symphony was behind you, which, you know, is absolutely amazing. It just kind of completed the whole picture. I mean, it just absolutely beautiful. Moving song, moving video. Is it part of an upcoming album? Are you promoting a new album? Is this part of a project, or is this separate totally?
Yeah, I mean, I've written two songs in the last year. One was after Afghanistan, and now one's about Ukraine. So they're really not planned out. I just kind of react to the moment. Frankly, Larry, they're two songs I wish I never had to write for the first time in my life. So who knows where it goes from here? I'm certainly enjoying performing music, writing new songs. You know, when I play the song every night with the audio of the orchestra, I can see that people are moved. And for a song they've never heard and a song that's not on the radio. So I'm definitely inspired to continue writing. And, you know, I'm certainly not, you know, someone who wants to stand on a soapbox and have a song of the month. But if events move me, I'll write about them. And maybe we will put out a record for those of your audience under 30. They can ask their parents what a record is. but yeah, I'm enjoying making music. I have some projects in the hopper. But I'm just, you know, grateful to be able to do this and really shine the light on the people that deserve it. I feel at this stage of my career, I've been blessed to have some hit songs that people know, but I'm trying to use my platform to, you know, shine it on Afghan veterans, Ukrainian people, and kind of let music do its own work. So that's really where my head is right now.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever envision yourself doing what you're doing as a career? I mean, was this something you planned from the beginning? Because you five for fighting. That's just for those who are tuning in, meeting John Ondrasik for the first time. That's kind of inspired by a 5-minute penalty that you get in the sport of hockey when you fight, you know, when you get put in the penalty box for five minutes.
I'm a big sports fan. And the name came about when in the late 90s, the record company came to me and said, you know, the male singer songwriter is irrelevant. It's boy bands, grunge music, Lilith Fair. We need a band name. And I'd been to a hockey game, and there was a guy named Marty McSorley, who was Wayne Gretzky's bodyguard. And he got in a fight and went in the penalty box. And so when they said, we need a band name, I sarcastically said, how about Five for Fighting? Expecting them to hate it. And they're like, we love it. I'm like, you're crazy. Sounds like we should be opening for Metallica. People think we're this heavy metal outfit. But you know, it kind of stuck. And there's been some silver linings. I've been able to play some amazing events, Monday Night Football, Daytona 500, hockey, all-star games. So the name's been kind of fun. But, you know, maybe there's some symbolism to it of kind of fighting for causes that you believe in and fighting to shine the light on the little person. And so maybe the name fits now better than it ever has.
But Five for Fighting is a great name for a band and for what you do as a project, more or less, because it is you. It's all about actually you. You know, you had to come up with that name, Five for Fighting. And then you gave us Superman, It's Not Easy, which was the number one song for you. And you had quite a few other hits. You're going to do another song for us now on the program. What are you going to do next?
Well, you just said Superman. Why don't we play that for you?
All right. I would love it. This was a number one hit, John Ondrasik and Five for Fighting. This is Superman. Here on Border Crossings.
I can't stand to fly. I'm not that naive. I'm just out to find the better part of me. I'm more than a bird, more than a plane, more than some pretty face beside a train. It's not easy to be me. Wish that I could. pride. Fall upon my knees, find a way to lie, but a home I'll never see. It may sound absurd.
Crossings and Five for Fighting with the man who's on the show today, John Ondrasik, and that is Superman. And I'm sure when you sat down to write that, you never expected that it would become the big hit that it did.
Of course not. No, I was, you know, one of those struggling singer-songwriters, you know, 15-year overnight success story. I mean, you write thousands of songs. And it was interesting. The first single that we had on Columbia Record was not Superman. It was a song called Easy Tonight. And it was a hit at a AAA format, but it wasn't a big hit. But it was just big enough to get the record company to say, well, you can have one more try. And I said, well, if I'm going down in flames, here's this little Superman song that people seem to react to. And initially, nobody wanted to play it. As I mentioned, it was the early 2000s. The piano wasn't on the radio. It was kind of slower. It was different. But it started to gain traction around the world. Believe it, it was a number one song in the Philippines before it was even on the radio here. And over time, it started to gain traction because it was a little different. And then, of course, after 9/11, it became one of the songs that recognized our heroes that ran into those buildings, the Concert for New York. And nobody could imagine, you know, having a song that would kind of have that impact. To this day, I still kind of try to digest it. But it's amazing. The song still resonates and 100 years still resonates. And I've been very blessed. And I don't get tired of playing the song. Probably tonight I'll play it for the 10,000th, 117th time. But I'll enjoy singing it with the folks here. And it's been wonderful to see how it can really make a difference in people's lives.
You are a great friend to the program and to our worldwide audience in 100 countries, and you have championed some very important causes and used your platform in a very, very positive way, and we thank you for that. And always a pleasure to talk to you and have you on the show, John. You're always welcome here. There's always a spot for you whenever you want to come on. And thank you again for being on the program and for being who you are.
You too. My pleasure. Look forward to next time. Have a great rest of your summer.
John Ondrasik, Five for Fighting. Can one man save the world? Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. My name is Larry London, and this is Border Crossings on VOA TV.